We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
It's Thursday, and we're off to a rip-roaring good time. Tonight ends the week of Vince with IB Nation.
Yeah.
Sports Talk. Last week was the week of Jesse. This is the week of Vince.
I knew I owed him. I owed him. You know, I just didn't realize it would come back to roost, you know, this quickly. But I don't like being in people's debt, so I'm glad. I'm off the hook.
Got up the schneid. That's right. He's been in Chicago most of the week, and he's actually on his way back from Chicago to here. Oh, you might remember, you know, you've seen or heard his dogs, especially Henry, but they've got two little dogs, Henry and Scooby. And we have been we've been dog sitting the dogs.
Have you really?
While they've been in Chicago this week.
And so, you know what's amazing to me? I'm just going to say it. During the shows, I don't hear the dogs when I'm with you.
Well, you know, when he's at home, he does his show, like his desk is in their living room.
Out in the open, yeah.
Yeah, like I'm in a closed room, kind of in the back of the house.
I mean, I was just assuming you had more control. That's basically all I'm saying.
I wish, because there was a time today, it's like, all right, you little yappers. Let's... Grandpa's trying to work here.
Jesse needs to get married and have kids so you don't have to call yourself grandpa because of the dogs. Okay.
Yeah.
That's just, it's sad, Sean. You need, you know.
I know. Some might say the stock is rising. I don't know.
Okay.
Some might say.
I like it.
Could be. Could be coming. I don't know.
Hope so. For his sake.
Yes. Well, we got a lot of good stuff, I think, on today's show. I don't know how closely you know, because I know you had a busy day at the day job. I think we've got some pretty good stuff. We've got some draft stuff and some other things, some fun things coming up in rapid fire a little bit later. I hope that this first segment turns out the way that I think it could. Stock up, stock down. I thought
this is going to be fun.
Yeah, I thought end of spring, we're always sort of gauging, you know, who's who's kind of on the rise, who's falling, all those different kind of things. So I thought, well, yeah, we can kind of go through from top to bottom.
I like
a little
it.
Stock up, stock down. Whose stock rose the most, and maybe who's fell the most over the course of Notre Dame spring football.
Before we jump in, I will say I can't believe we've made it yet another 24 hours with no announcements about who's coming.
I know.
And going. Like that still blows my mind that this is not occurring. But whatever. All on your own time, people. Your own time.
I'm not even gonna guess when it's gonna happen.
I know, and it's gonna, you know, and it's gonna be all of them at the same time is what's gonna end up happening.
Yep.
You know, you couldn't just sparse it out for us and, you know, help us out with some content.
I mean, NFL draft weekend, like going into draft weekend, feels like a good time to sort of bury it if that's your goal potentially, right?
Right. But if you are now, I realize coaches aren't just sitting on Twitter waiting for guys to announce. They're actually in the portal looking to see who's in there.
Yeah.
But you would think you would want to make at least a little bit of a splash if you're looking to land someplace. But I don't know, man. It's all making out for a super busy show on Monday.
It is.
That's all I can say because
it is the portal. Either a super busy show on Monday or a super busy show tomorrow.
Like
one of the two.
Yeah, and I'll be upset because I'm not going to be on the show tomorrow.
I know.
Not bad.
Jesse and I will be here tomorrow.
Not fair.
Well, all you loyals, to the like button, if you would, punch it real quick and then just divert your attention right here. Interact in the chat, as always. That kind of thing, we appreciate it. The formalities, I guess. That's Vince D'Addario. I'm Sean Stiers. Glad to have you with us, as always,
Welcome.
On the show today. Welcome. So stock up, stock down. Let's start with Marcus Freeman.
Yeah.
Where do you put Marcus Freeman's stock as he ends his third spring and gets ready for season number three coming up this fall?
I think this is might have been the easiest one. I think this is a definite stock up. I think he is trending in the right direction. You know, will he join the pantheon of Notre Dame coaches and get his national championship in the third year of being head coach? That might be a stretch, but I do think he's got the program going in the right direction. I think that, you know, recruiting is on the upswing. I think the roster is in a great place. I think the coaching staff is in a great place. And at the end of the day, those are all on the head coach, right? And so I think his stock is heading up. I'm excited about the future and the present of Marcus Freeman. Now, there is a lot riding on year three, just because Notre Dame and year three is important around the country too. I mean, it's not just at Notre Dame. Year three is an important year. You still need to see steps in the right direction. But right now, as we sit here on April 25th, it's absolutely stock up.
And that's a good point that you sort of designated that way, because it feels like it kind of ebbs and flows all the time, just, you know, over sort of like the natural course of the calendar. Maybe that's the nature of being a head coach. You know, like if you rewound it all the way back, if his stock was at peak potential after he was hired as head coach, you know, so like it like scale of 1 to 100, it's at 100% back when he was hired. Maybe dipped a little bit after the Fiesta Bowl, but still pretty much got a free pass after the Fiesta Bowl. But, you know, it was probably back up with all the feel good and everything coming out of spring and going into the first season, probably back up close to 100, if not 100. But then, you know, you go 9-3 that first season, dips to maybe what, 85, 80. Something like that.
And there were some disappointments in there for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, because the fact that you lost to Marshall and Stanford, there's no way around that. And you also lost to USC for that matter.
That was ugly.
Yeah. But then, you know, it probably climbs again. They get Tyler Buchner back and they win the Gator Bowl. You're feeling good again. You roll into the offseason.
Recruiting was good.
Hartman. Yeah, good recruiting, all that kind of stuff. You get Hartman out of the transfer portal. You know, that offseason was the, you know, the weird, you know, with Ludwig and Utah and all that stuff. Not on Freeman, but, and so however you want to, you know, play into that. But still pretty good offseason, really, until maybe it dips a little bit when Buchner enters the transfer portal, right? Like, dips a little, but not a whole lot. But, I felt like going into the season, it's probably on the rise again. Everyone's feeling good, but then you take some hits. Ohio State, 10
Ohio
men
State,
on the field.
You know, that was about as deep. I think that's the valley.
Yeah,
right?
And I'm thinking, you know, you probably dip into the 70s,
yeah,
right?
That's like the valley for sure.
10 men on the field, and then you lay a massive egg against Louisville, and you lose to Clemson. You're, you know, so you're kind of riding in the 70s, you know, especially by the time the Chancey Stuckey stuff comes around and you lose all the guys to the transfer portal, wide receivers and stuff like that. But then again, it feels like it starts building back up because you get Riley Leonard. You go out, you snatch, you know, Mike Denbrock away from LSU. Yeah. I mean, feeling really strong again right now. I think probably in the 90s right now, you know. So I just, like, he's had as good an offseason, I think, as you could have if you throw out the start of the offseason. The way that he rebounded after that offseason, I think it's been great since then.
Absolutely. So yeah, absolutely.
I put him somewhere – what, low to mid-90s?
Oh, yeah.
Probably somewhere around there again.
Yep, and you start winning some games. And think about where it'll be. I mean, it might be all the way to the bell. If we're doing the, you know, the hammer on the thing and the bell's going up, you might be all the way up to the top if they go and dismantle A&M on the road. You know what I mean? And it's a convincing victory. Whatever that looks like in your head, whatever a convincing victory looks like, if they go do that, and then you got that kind of stretch of pancake games, you know, or cupcake games, excuse me. I like pancakes better than cupcakes. But you get that stretch there, it's going to be at an all-time high for him, no doubt.
Joe says we need stock up, stock down, no change. So everyone is hung up on the buy, sell, hold for it.
Seriously.
It feels like.
Come on, Joe. Come on. We're just up and down. There's no even here.
That's right.
Up or down.
I do feel like stock up, stock down. It's maybe got the potential for a regular, you know, recurring segment or something like that, though.
Just saying. Just saying. Yeah. Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Jason says he thinks that this will be the first year where there's 100% buy-in from everyone involved in the program, from the president, recruiting support staff, more importantly, 100% buy-in from everyone in the
locker room.
Had to find that last part.
It's all good.
Character limit there. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's accurate. I mean, but I think that's the way it is for any new coach, right? You need a couple of seasons to kind of turn the roster over, you know, get your guys in there, you know, the whole thing. And I don't think that he had pushback necessarily from guys that were here when Brian Kelly was head coach, but you still want to have your quote unquote, your guys, right, mm-hmm. in there. And when you are going into year three, I think we're finally seeing that. You're seeing the brand new linebacking core. You're seeing, you know, the secondary. You're seeing the quarterback room. You're all of these different parts and the offensive line for that matter. A lot of these guys, the vast majority, are now Marcus Freeman guys. And so I think that's just automatic extra buy-in in the locker room.
Yeah. I mean, the more it starts with his connection to these guys in the recruiting process. And by the time you're heading into year three, you've just got more guys who you've been connected with since they were in high school before you even got here. So I think that's going to do nothing but help out, especially just when you kind of, you know, one, the kind of athletes they are, two, the kind of people they are. And then again, you know, just the tighter bond that they have with the head coach that they really didn't have, you know, that other guys didn't necessarily have as much with the previous head coach.
Right.
And, you know, like something I found interesting, like all the, you know, the investment that Marcus Freeman has had in the alums of the program. I think that's worth bringing up as well, because like I saw on social media over the weekend, Michael Stonebreaker, you know, big like linebacker for the 88 championship team, and Mike Goolsby, mm-hmm. another linebacker, obviously from the early 2000s. They were both on campus. They had never met before last weekend. That kind of surprised me.
That's crazy.
But again, I don't think we've had a coach with the kind of commitment to making sure those previous guys are involved. And when you're making that a priority to get them all back on campus, there's a greater chance that you're going to have more interaction between some of those different generations of players. And I think that matters a lot as well when you talk about, you know, like the stock of a head coach and that kind of thing.
I agree completely. I don't remember seeing all the social media, and there was a ton of it, of former players being on campus and, you know, all of these different things. I mean, it's a cultivated situation. And that was never the case before under the previous regime, ever.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep. All right. Let's talk about some of the assistant coaches. Which assistant coach do you think saw his stock rise the most this offseason? And now, again, differentiate between coach with the highest stock mm-hmm. versus the guy whose stock actually rose the most.
And it's the offseason. So like the end of last season until now.
Right now.
So we're talking like a 4-month period, right? I think in the media, or I mean in the general public, like I was tempted to go Al Golden, but then that would have been from like last year to this year, right? His stock would have been the highest up because
I think his rose the most job. Over the I think his rose the most from this time last year, on you know, through like the end of last season. I think that's when his stock came up the most.
So I can't pick him because his stock was very high at the end of the season, right? So I went with Max Bulla. Most normal fans had no idea who Max Bulla was until he got hired as the linebackers coach. And then all of a sudden his popularity was through the roof. You know, you got these videos coming out of him like wearing the dummy and getting in there with these linebackers and, you know, all the audio that we've got from him and just how kind of fired up he is. And all. I think that his stock is the highest.
That's a good one. That's a really good one. And for whatever reason, I didn't think about that for, you know, because I was like, I was thinking of all the, trying to think of the
position. It took me a second. I'm not going to lie.
I'll just go with the other side of the ball and say Mike Brown, because I don't think that everyone was, I don't think there was 100% fan buy-in on Mike Brown, because similar to Brian Kelly, it's like, oh, here's Marcus Freeman going and bringing in his old friends again and stuff like that. Well, who do you trust the most? You know, who do you know the most about how competent they are or aren't as a coach? I mean, guys that you've coached with before. And look at how differently we feel about the wide receiver room right now compared to back at the start of the spring. And the fact that you've got Mike Brown in charge of it, I think you're probably right. Max Bulla maybe tops Mike Brown, but if we went offense, defense, I think that those would be
the
two guys.
Yeah.
Right.
That's fair. I like that.
Yeah. And I think there's probably an honorable mention in here for Al Washington, just because of the whole, you know, like the interviewing at Boston College and stuff like that. And that ESPN article that came out a few weeks ago, remember, that listed him in the top 30 college coaches with potential to make impact over the next decade and that kind of thing. I mean, that's obviously going to be something to watch. I think at least nationally, there's a pretty, you know, there's a much elevated perception of Al Washington than there was a couple months ago.
Here's the category I would put Al Washington in. I think his stock is the most volatile, because it's gone like up, down, up, down, up, down, whether we're talking about recruiting, whether we're talking about on-field coaching, whether we're talking about his potential to be a head coach. It's like, woo, woo. Like you just, you know, one day people are pissed off that he's the coach, and in another day they're super excited about it. Like, his is just the most up and down to me. But I definitely understand where you're coming from, though.
Yeah. So of the assistants, then, whose stock maybe has fallen? Whose needs the most work coming out of spring?
So the key phrase is needs the most work, okay? Because I don't really have anybody that would fall into the category of stock down, like they're trending in the wrong direction.
And I was thinking the same thing.
You know,
like,
so
there's no one who just like, oh man, this guy really got to get it together.
And that guy has been on the staff in the past, by the way. Mm-hmm. But I think the one that needs the most work, and it's also kind of a byproduct of the fact that I think his position group needs the most work, and that's
Coach Rudolph.
It's Coach Rudolph, right? Yep. I mean, it's offensive line. Yep. And his stock could go up dramatically depending on, you know, who's going to be the fifth lineman. You know, when are they going to get that figured out? What does that look like when they're down in College Station and beyond, right? So, I mean, I feel like if you want to buy low for the biggest return, I think Joe Rudolph could be your guy. Like, that could be the guy that you want to buy stock in right now. You know what I mean? Because if this offensive line gels the way we hope it does, then all of a sudden he did a hell of a coaching job this offseason and then into the season, right? And his stock's going to be super high.
And that's I agree with that, because, again, when you look at each of the position coaches, there's no one who's, again, like teetering on anything. But it's just that the offensive line has the most questions, I think, right now in terms of how ready it's going to be to open up the season. And because of that, that position coach falls in there. But, you know, he's got a lot of turnover, as we pointed out before. There's a lot of turnover, so there's just more questions.
Right.
So, not that he has done anything wrong. It's just he's got the most questions and sort of more to figure out between now and
Oh, absolutely. The other coaches, not that they don't have work to do, but there's a lot less obvious work to do. And Rudolph has the biggest job in front of him. Absolutely.
Okay, so now we'll split offense, defense for the players.
Okay.
And we're going to start with offensive players. Whose stock rose the most this spring? I came up with a list of four candidates.
Okay.
So I'm curious. I mean, I think we can probably all agree who's number one.
Can we? I mean, you'll probably say it and I'll be like, yep, that should be number one, but I don't know.
It was CJ Carr?
Yes, as far as stock rising. Yeah, I got to wrap my mind around that kind of a thing. yes, I do.
I mean, obviously, CJ Carr came in highly touted and all that stuff. But early, you know, enrollee, we really didn't get a chance to see any of him live until the last 2 weeks of spring. The Jersey scrimmage and the blue gold game, and then his stock just exploded.
Great call.
I think he's got to be at the top of the list. Personally.
Great call. Yep, absolutely. And DK, I think, has another one that I would assume you have on your four would be Micah Gilbert. I think that's
he came
in not unheralded, because that wouldn't be right, but he was definitely second fiddle to Cam Williams. I mean, he just was, and he outshined Cam Williams in the spring. And so his stock heading in the right direction. So I would say,
yeah, and I mean,
definitely him.
He was a guy who was kind of opening eyes throughout the spring. And when they would put out some of the highlight videos and stuff like that, you'd see him making some really great catches. And then, of course, when you cap it with a big performance in the blue gold game, a couple of touchdowns and almost 80 yards. I mean, nice little exclamation point.
Some joker at my school that I work with came up to me while I was on lunch duty and was like, I heard, you know, the transfer portal, this number 14 just jumped in. And I'm like, whoa, 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 what? I immediately like get on my phone and I start scrolling. I'm like, you're an idiot. No, if that was number 11. That was like, it freaked number me out, 14? Man.
What
are you talking about? Anyway,
like, oh, man,
don't do that to me. Okay. So my other the offensive one that came to my mind, and you can tell me if I'm full of beans or not, but Rocco Spindler, his stock
on my list, one of my four.
Okay. Because he was kind of injured. It felt like he had been overtaken for his right guard spot, which Billy Stroud had done for the most part. And so he was kind of the odd man out. They move him over to left, and Marcus Freeman's talking about how injured he is and all this. And then he just goes out and just dominates in the blue gold game. I mean, did played very, very well in the blue gold game. Yep. And so he was the first one I thought of. CJ Carr is clearly number one, but Rocco was the first person that I thought of.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And I like, again, like the way Rocco ended his spring, no doubt, but again, he really kind of had to work his way back into that over the course of the spring. And there was only so much that we actually got to see with so many of those five period practices and stuff like that. So
right.
By the time, and again, like this was a starter last year, but what we got to see of him the last couple of weekends doing live stuff, he popped for sure. Like showed he deserves to be back in that starting lineup.
He like kind of lost his starting position. And then I think he just went to another position and got one. Like that's not an easy thing to do. You know what I mean? So I was impressed with Rocco.
Yeah, Brent says Rocco's a senior, but has 2 years of asking if he has 2 years of eligibility. He does, because you know he didn't play.
There's COVID and an injury in there, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Was he COVID year?
I'm not sure.
Let me look here real quick.
Well, because it says he's got a junior year of eligibility. So yeah, he's got 2 years left. It's just one off, right? Yeah. So he's a senior this year. He's junior eligibility. He can come back for a fifth year. So that makes perfect sense.
He was not here during the COVID season. Yeah. Didn't play though. Like he played in two games as a freshman in 2021.
Right. He's back to the normal way we figure these things out. Right. He basically redshirted as a freshman.
Redshirted in 2020. Yeah. So he has 2 years left.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
The other one that I have is Jeremiah Love. And
oh, really? Okay.
Well, just because of the whole receiver thing and like, you know, again, like looking at what he did in the blue gold game and to some extent in the Jersey scrimmage as well, you know, like the Jersey scrimmage, we saw some physicality from him. And then in the blue gold game, seeing the way that, you know, like the fact that he didn't have massive receiving yards, he didn't have massive rushing yards, but altogether he had right around 100 total yards. And I think that just the fact that we're the versatility that he's going to provide that we didn't necessarily know, I guess, coming out of last season, you know, that they planned to use him as a receiver. And you start, you know, kind of hearing some of that build up. And I've heard, you know, like some national people who saw him in the blue gold game talking about like this guy, you're going to see a lot from this guy. So I just feel like we all had, maybe his stock didn't like skyrocket, but at the same time, just adding like the diversification of the portfolio, if you will, since we're talking stock up, stock down.
Look at you.
The fact that he's adding that receiver skill set I think that that has really increased his stock to me.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
There's a case to be made, and I see where you're coming from.
Again, he's not like my number one.
But he
was in my list of at least a few people there. And like people, okay, you know, like I'm seeing K.K. Smith, Jack Larson. I mean, they all...
K.K. Smith and Jack Larson are going to struggle to get on the field. That's going to be the problem.
Yeah,
because
they're
of
all
the talent
a little...
that's in front of them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I like this. Brent Smith, of course, using the Ricky Waters comparison because he's the 49ers guy.
Well, and he doesn't wear 12 anymore.
He says J-Love is Ricky Waters, yeah.
That's gone by the wayside.
Yep. He has switched to number four.
Yep.
Correct?
Number four.
I remember right. Yep. But he has added... He has added at least a little bit.
Oh, he looks bigger. No, he definitely looks bigger, for sure. Yep. I expect a lot out of Love. There's some debate as to who the quote unquote number one back is, you know, at Notre Dame. And I think it's 1A, 1B, and I think you could put them in whatever order that you want to.
But again, because Love has added that receiver stuff, he's going to find himself on the field even more, and it's not going to matter that much who won, and you know, who 1A or 1B.
Exactly, because Price is a great running back. He's more your prototypical running back, right? And so I think either one could be your A back, depending on how you want to operate your offense that day, that week.
See, now Jason's saying Colsey and Aeneas Williams, you're putting a lot of stock in one blue gold game, like, you know, Williams.
Right.
And I'm not trying to take anything away from Aeneas Williams, because I think he's going to be a good back. But again, I think because of who's in front of him, like those two guys we just talked about, Price and Love, and then you throw in the fact that you've got Jabron Payne back there. And remember, there was no Kedron Young in the blue gold game because he was a little bit dinged up at the end as well. I just think Aeneas is going to have a harder time getting snaps, you know, during this season. That doesn't mean that the future doesn't bode well for him. But, and then like Deion Colsey had a nice spring game, but Deion Colsey's got to show that he can go out and be consistent and do it game in and game out. You can't just do it when you want to do it. That's
you want to talk about volatile stock. You want to talk about volatile stock at
that's
Deion Colsey right there, because you just really never know what you're going to get.
Exactly. So whose stock took the biggest hit, do you think, from the offense?
This one was tough for me because I think the offense is absolutely loaded. But I think, you know, whether you want to blame injury or otherwise, to me, it's Jaden Thomas. I just feel like I don't know that they can trust that he's ever going to be healthy for a full season.
Hold it. Let's back up here real quick. Because DK says you're talking about their stock, not whether or not they're going to get playing time.
Well, and
they're not
going to
get playing time, but their stock isn't up.
Right.
You know, for one.
His
and two, we're talking about guys, you know, again, we're talking about little flashes during a blue gold game. Like, right? Like, I don't think that their stock rose incredibly over the course of the spring. These other guys that we're talking about, you know, like Larson and Aeneas and Colsey, they did some nice things, but I don't think it moved their stock.
It didn't move their spot on the depth chart. That's the thing. If your stock is high, then you're moving on up like the Jeffersons, baby. Like you've got to be moving up and fighting for playing time. I just don't know that that's the case for some of the guys that the chat is bringing up.
Right. And again, we're talking about whose stock rose the most. Not like, you know, again, if we're going on a scale of 1 to 100, like we were talking about with Marcus Freeman, we're not talking about going from a 30 to a 40 or a 40 to a 50. We're talking about going from potentially, you know, like a 30 or 40 to an 80 or 90, like in that range.
Right.
Right. That's
Like, stock, like going up, like
stuff.
They could have gone up a little bit, but Aeneas Williams is still going to be an early enrollee freshman, and that's it. Like, he's not going to impact, unless there's like a rash of injuries, he's not going to, you know, he's not going to impact the season like some of these other guys we're talking about.
Right. Okay. So I cut you off.
That's okay.
On the taking a hit.
I said,
who took the hit?
Yeah, I said Jaden Thomas. I mean, whether you want to blame the injury, whatever you want to blame, he's not out there. And because he's not out there, he's getting passed up. And I don't know, like 100% healthy Jaden Thomas, he's in the rotation. I don't know that he's proven he can be 100% healthy for a whole season. I think his stock took a hit in the spring because there's a lot of guys making plays while he's on the sideline in shorts and a t-shirt.
That's true. There's just no way around it. You know, like, he's got to stay healthy. That's the biggest thing with him right now. That's what sucks for guys like him, because opportunities are there and there's so much talent in that room right now. And it's just tough for him. You know, it's really tough for him. Like, you're absolutely right. I was looking at what Brent said about Ricky Waters, and it's crazy. I didn't, like, when I think of Ricky Waters, I predominantly think
100% 49ers
of San Francisco. I mean, those were the first 3 years of his career, but I looked it up, and actually, Brent, he spent the first 3 years in San Francisco, the next three in Philadelphia, where he had some of the best production of his career, but then he finished the last 4 years in Seattle, which I completely forget about. When I think about Ricky Waters, is the fact that he finished with the Seahawks. So, oh boy, everyone wants to get like very pedantic about the parameters.
I think I got him where he needs to be. Like, they're like, well, CJ's not going to start. I was like, but he rose the depth chart. Like, that's the point. He started out fourth, and in my opinion, he should be two. Like, you rose quite a bit on the depth chart, right?
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say Steve Angeli has not fallen on the depth chart
yet.
But look, the public perception is no one wants his stock right now.
Yeah.
Right? He's still number two on the depth chart, but no one wants Angeli's stock right now. And no one would want to touch that, right? Like, if you're a Notre Dame fan, no one wants to touch it.
100%. And USMA 87, I think, put it perfectly. He did not cement the number two slot. And I think that's 100% accurate. Leaving spring, it's not like, oh, clearly Angeli's the number two. Like, that is not the case. Maybe he will be when it's all said and done for whatever reason, but he did not lock that down in the spring, and he had every opportunity to do it because he was working with the ones all spring long.
And again, the two live settings we got to see him in were at the end. The coaches obviously got to see a lot more live stuff over the course of the spring. So what they think of him, how he graded out, all those different things could be a lot different than the public perception that surrounds Steve Angeli. But again, like, if you're looking at stock, the public perception is everything, right? It's not like, so in the court of public opinion, Steve Angeli's stock took a hit.
Sure.
This spring.
And, you know, we didn't get to see practice, but,
you know, again, because even like the people who are still going to be on the Steve Angeli train, you know, they're going to kind of be the diehards, but there are going to be some who are on that Steve Angeli train coming out of the Sun Bowl based on that Sun Bowl performance. And then,
yeah,
you know, kind of saw, or I guess at least heard the reports of the jersey scrimmage and all that different kind of stuff, the pick six and everything else. It took a hit. It took a hit to at least some extent.
As the announcer in A League of Their Own said, I've seen enough to know that I've seen too much. I've seen enough of Steve Angeli at this point to know what I think he is. I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the other guys have more tools, and as they continue to get experience, the gap is closing rapidly, if not already overtaken.
Yeah. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Like, if you are going to buy stock in Angeli versus Carr right now, the CJ Carr shares would cost you a lot more than the Steve Angeli shares.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Because you're buying based on what you think is going to happen in the future. So
Father David's trying to get me in trouble here. I thought you take like an oath to be a nice person? I'm just kidding. It's just confirmed. Vince hates Steve Angeli. Oh man.
So I went back and I'm looking again. I'm looking at the career stats of Ricky Waters that Brent was asking about. And according to, I'll go to a different page because this is on his Wikipedia. Let me go to his Pro Football Reference page to make sure, because they're going to be far more accurate. So according to this, 92, 93, 94, Ricky Waters was in San Francisco. 95, 96, 97, Ricky Waters was in Philadelphia. 98, 99, 2000, 2001, he ends his career with the Seattle Seahawks. So 3 years in San Francisco, did help him win their last Super Bowl. That was their last Super Bowl championship when he was there. And then Philly for 3 years, and then Seattle for 4 years. So that's according to Pro Football Reference. So there you go.
I mean, he kind of did it in pretty even threes almost.
Yeah, he did. He did.
But
and that was also, you know, like those early mid 90s, the start of, I think it was right around, would have been right around 93, 94 when, you know, the free agency came to the NFL and
right. All that
different kind of stuff. All right, defensive players. We haven't talked about the defense yet. Defensively, what player stock rose the most on the defense? I saw a couple of nominations.
Yep. And those nominations were on my list. Bubakar is definitely on my list. Keanu Kia is not on my list. And here's why.
We saw it once.
Right.
That's the problem I have with like
right.
giving him an appreciable stock jump there.
He's not going to break into the depth chart. He's just not. And so he didn't really climb the depth chart. He had a nice day. That's fantastic. He's going to be super important on special teams. But his stock did not raise enough for him to make this list, right? So that's why he's not on that list. I will say KVA, definitely sure. Stock raised. I mean, people are
I think he's got to be the biggest riser.
Yeah,
because, absolutely. You know, again, like somewhat similar to CJ Carr, he's a guy who we all knew that he was coming in with a good level of talent, but – It's one thing to come in with a good level of talent and come in as a true freshman, as an early enrollee, and have the kind of spring that both of those guys had, you know, and like talking about KVA specifically, to put himself in the conversation. And Al Golden said it himself, like he's going to get a lot of playing time as a freshman. Like
yeah. He's
going to get legitimate reps as a Mike linebacker, as a freshman, is what Al Golden said late in the spring when we got the chance to talk to the coordinators. So
right.
that's huge up.
Yes, absolutely. And another one for me, because of injury, stock up, is Adon Shuler. Or not because of injury, because of not being enrolled in the school. He had an opportunity to run with the ones all spring, and I think he took advantage of that opportunity. And he's going to get significant playing time this year. Maybe he would have, if he was the number two, you know, safety in the spring, maybe he still would have had significant playing time. But I think he proved to a lot of people that he can play with the ones. And so I think his stock went up.
So Andrew says, what's Kia supposed to do? Look, guys, you have to be able to differentiate between a split squad scrimmage, which is what the blue gold scrimmage was, and a true depth chart mm-hmm. scrimmage. Like, it's great that he made the most of the opportunities
sure.
that he had out there, but it wasn't like he was in there with the twos making plays against other twos, and he definitely wasn't in there against, you know, straight-up number ones making plays against the number ones. He made the most of his opportunity. He had a good spring, but are you going to play Kia over Kingston or Bowen or Kaiser?
Or Snead.
Or Snead at this point? Like,
no.
That's
no.
That's just what happens sometimes. You know, like I think you've brought up the junior Jabby a few times. Like sometimes guys go out and make plays in the spring,
sure.
but that doesn't mean that it's like, again, especially when we're talking about specific to the way that, you know, under Marcus Freeman, you know, they do this draft for the blue gold game, and the way that he has formatted the blue gold game, like guys are going to shine sometimes out there in this game, but that's not necessarily going to mean that they're going to be a player right away.
Agreed. So
it's great that Kia did what he did, but But there are other guys who are just going to be ahead of him on the depth chart. That's just all there is to it.
Right. Exactly. There's only so many positions on the field. And a lot of the time, there's two linebackers on the field. And there's at least four I would play before him at this point. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation.
It would have been one thing if we were watching practices and over the course of practice, we're like, man, Kahanu Kia is flashing today. You know, like we did last year with Jason Onye, for example. Like we kept seeing Jason Onye out there making plays last spring, and it turned into he played in every game last season. He was a contributor, maybe not to the extent that we thought he was going to be last year, but we saw him over the course of the entire spring last year making plays. That's, you know, we basically, no one really took note of Kia until the blue gold game this year, basically. And that's not a bad thing, but again, it's, you have to be able to sort of separate what, you know, the competition that they're going against and just the format and the whole thing.
Right. Cause we're talking stock up from the entire spring, not just the blue gold game.
Right.
I had no idea who 43 was until the blue gold game.
Right.
And I went to a lot of practices in the spring. So there you go.
Yeah. So we're all in agreement on KVA for sure as the top of our defensive list. I think Adon Shuler had a I think his stock started to come up at the end of spring. Kind of, you know, what that looks like. I'm going to be curious to see, especially once Rod Heard gets here this summer and into fall training camp next year. But I think that Shuler has a pretty solid chance to crack the rotation. So I'd kind of put him at a mid stock, you know, at least with an arrow or, you know, a bullet or, you know, whatever, like it's pointing upwards anyway. I don't think it was a huge jump, but I do think Boubacar Traore, for the way he kind of finished, you know, the last couple of weeks when we got to see him live and comparing him to the other two guys at that Viper position, I think his definitely came up toward the end of spring as well.
Yep. The only other person I would have a conversation about would be Jalen Snead, because I think the spring was really important for him. And I didn't have a whole lot of faith that he was ever going to be what he needed to be coming in as a five-star. And he flashed in the spring. It feels like the light switch went on for him, and the coaches appear to feel the same way. And so I think his stock is definitely heading in the right direction. So I would say him as well.
No, I mean, this is fair. I think Carberry's being a little sarcastic at the same time, but he says, I like to know we have a whole team with good players, the ones through the threes, called depth, the last I heard.
Yeah,
you're right.
100%.
But this show is called Stock Up, Stock Down. So, you know, and again, it's we're talking about the guys whose stock rose the most. We're not talking about, okay, they got a little bump, you know, a little upward bump. We're talking about whose stock rose the most over the course of the spring. We're not going to go through 1 through 11 and say, well, yeah, he had a, you know, he made a couple plays too, so I guess his is up. We're talking about the guys at the top of the list.
Yeah, that made the biggest move.
That's what we're trying to differentiate. Yeah. Who made the biggest moves over the course of the spring? Yes.
And there's plenty of teams out there that would love to have Kahanu Kia on their team as a starter. It's just, he's not going to start at Notre Dame this year. That is the definition of depth, Carberry, and I'm with you on that one. It's great to have that. There's no doubt.
For sure.
There's no doubt.
For sure. And I felt like Jason Onye, because he was a role player last year and was still trying to figure some things out, he finished really strong as well. And I feel like he's going to, like, where I'm most excited to see Jason Onye this year, and, you know, whether his stock jumped a lot, I don't know, but, like, think of those middle of the line rush plays that we saw from him. You know, like when he took Steve Angeli down. Like he's going to get in as the nose guard in like third and long type situation. You know, like passing down situations, and that's kind of exciting to me to see a nose guard with his particular set of skills on, you know, in those third down plays. That's kind of where I'm really excited to see Onye this season.
For sure. Yeah, the only reason I didn't pick him is because he's still technically second team, right? And I feel like he's going to contribute more than he did last year, but I feel like that's the natural step for him. Like, that's where he should be going based on last year. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah,
it's a natural progression, but I still see your point for sure.
Yep. All right, so whose stock on the defense came down?
This is hard for me. I'm literally, as we've been talking this entire time, I've been trying to come up with a kid whose stock is going in the wrong direction on defense, and I'm struggling. I am struggling. I could not come up with anyone. Maybe there's a defensive lineman that's buried, but at the same time, they've always been buried. So it's not like your stock is going down per se. It was always down. So I don't know. What do you got?
The only one I could really come up with, and I don't know if it's flat or if it's truly coming down, is Botello.
Okay.
Like, because, you know, he's
so inconsistent.
Control Hunter. Yeah. And that's the thing. Yeah. And like, you can talk about some other guys as well, whether it's Ford or, you know, some of these.
And that was okay. So I thought of Ford, right? But he was already pretty low.
That's what I was
going
to say. Was his stock ever high enough to say that he came down? It's just kind of always been.
Exactly.
You know, just kind of there. And like, Botello is still all about the expectations. And we didn't see anything this spring that said, well, he's finally going to take off now. We're not going to know until the season rolls around.
Right. Some people are saying Kaiser. I would not say Kaiser at all.
No.
He's going to start, guys. Like, his stock has not gone down. He's going to start.
The thing you got.
He's bulked up. He's bigger. He's stronger. Like, he's playing on the inside. Like, look, I'm sorry. Jet Kaiser's stock is not down at all. So they didn't play a lot in the blue gold game because of his starting status.
That's what I was getting ready to say. Yeah. Those veterans on defense, like Mills and Cross, would take practices off this spring because it basically gave those younger guys more reps to get in there and practice. Cross and Mills didn't need them. Kaiser didn't need as many. So like none of those veterans like that, I would say stock down at all. They had a little bit quieter springs just because they weren't out there repping all the time. They didn't need to be out there repping all the time. Spring is about letting these young guys get experience.
I think it's his sixth spring.
Yeah. He's been here for 6 years now.
Like, that's a lot.
Yes.
Oh boy. The young Stiers is in the house.
Yes. I want to know if he is driving and chatting right now.
I mean, could he be in the passenger seat? Does he allow that to happen? Is he like too type A, needs to drive all the time?
I think that if I've got the whole travel itinerary right, I can't remember if they're both coming back or if it's just him coming. Because the girlfriend was, you know, like, there was like a work trip that she had to go on and and that kind of stuff.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So real quick, position groups, wide receiver got to be the biggest position group. Stock up.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Maybe quarterback. Would you throw quarterback in there just because of all the depth that we got to see?
Yeah. I think I felt like the quarterbacks would be at least in the neighborhood of as good as they have been. I had no idea what the wide receivers were going to look like. And I feel like they were almost more of a surprise to me. So like in my head, that means their stock is more like went up higher because I think I probably had them lower to begin with and then they've surpassed. So I agree with you quarterbacks, but I would say wide receivers are higher because they started lower.
Totally agree with that. There wasn't much like if we were doing confidence rankings, which could be an upcoming show here pretty soon, but if we were doing confidence rankings, the receiver would have started at the bottom of the confidence poll coming into the spring, right?
Oh, yeah.
Whereas quarterback, receiver, running back, like it's pretty hard to differentiate the three of those, I think. But wide receiver is definitely pretty close, much closer to the top than they were going into the spring, coming out.
For sure. You're going to ask me about going down, right? Position group. I would say corner because of injury and attrition. And attrition obviously meaning transfers, right? You had Micah Bell leave. You had Clarence Lewis leave. So that's attrition. And then you've got your best corner having shoulder surgery.
Right.
So it's not because they're not good. It's just because of some happenstance, I guess, that they would be the lower of them, I guess, is the best way to put it. I still like them. I still think they've got a ton of talent. But if I've got to pick one, I would say corners.
I won't disagree. It's just, you said something that I don't think you realize you said, and I'll just leave it at that. USMA 87 picked it up, so.
I don't know what I said. I'm going to have to go back and listen now.
You might have to.
Man.
I don't like, there might be a case for defensive ends, even though, I don't think there is really. Now that I think about it, because
I think they're in good shape.
Because they really, you know, again, like in the live stuff, the last couple of weeks, we really saw them start to pick it up. So I think you're right. I think corner is it. Did you do a defensive stock up? Like defensive position group? I think, to me, it's probably like linebackers.
Yeah, linebackers.
Because of all this youth and, you know, like there's a lot of excitement, I think, around that linebacker position. Youth and depth. Combined, like it's you know, like when you throw Kingston in there and you throw Snead in there and Osbury getting out there more and Drake Bowen, and you know, like no one's talking about issues with the linebacker.
No, and that was great. And that was a position group that we all knew had talent, but we weren't sure what it was going to look like when they actually got on the field and were able to be, you know, people that they were counting on. You know what I mean? So,
Yeah, we didn't, you know, and we negated special teams in this, but I do think the kicking game.
Oh, like, that's a big, that's I mean, a kicking big stock game is stock down, right, down now.
Right now.
But you lost a pretty darn good punter. Now, granted, he was inconsistent. I will agree with that. And your kicker, I think, is accurate, but he doesn't have a big leg. So I think that's a stock down right now. Let's see what they do in the portal.
I concur. All right. Well, I think we hit that pretty good. Well, one final question, I guess.
Okay.
Whose stock would you buy low right now with the hope to sell it high by the end of the season? We're talking about individual player. Whose stock would you buy
right now? I didn't see this question, so now I'm thinking about it off the top of my head.
I'll throw a couple out here. Please like do. I'm talking like maybe some penny stocks on Sullivan Abshire, you know, like kind of take a flyer on that stock, you know, hoping that maybe
that's a good one.
You know, maybe, you know, like he works himself over there at the right tackle position, because that is the biggest concern, obviously, with the offensive line. Even Gerby Lambert, you could probably throw him in there, you know, since he's coming in. It's always hard to bank on freshman offensive linemen, obviously, but There is an opening. There's a possibility out there. Jesse is saying Talich defensively. I think that that's an interesting one. DK backing that up. Imagine DK and Jesse actually agreeing on something.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yep. I would also say Eli Raridan, just because, like, I don't think he's got he definitely doesn't have a, you know, like a sky high stock right now. I think people are obviously high on Eli Raridan, but coming off the ACLs and all that kind of stuff, I think you could buy his stock pretty low right now. And as long as he stays healthy, I think it's going to be sky high by the time the season's over with. So that's who I'd go with on the offensive side.
I know this is cheating, but I'm going to cheat anyway. I'm going to take Coach Rudolph. I would buy his stock.
Okay.
Because I think the offensive line by the end of the year is going to be really good. By the end of the year, it's not going to start out that way. There'll be some rocky moments, but once they start to gel, maybe halfway through the year, I think they're going to be good.
USMA going for Osbury at Rover. I don't think that's a bad one either.
How really high is Christian Gray's right now? Is it like mid, or is it high?
I think it's in solid shape. If I'm going 1 to 100, I'd probably put Christian at about an 80 right now. Okay. Is that fair? I mean, he's the top healthy cornerback right now. Do you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
100%.
Yeah. That's like personal, you know, like personally, that's where I'd put it. Like I'd put it 80 out of 100.
Fair enough. fair enough. The only other one I can think, I might buy some Cooper Flanagan stock.
Okay.
Because, right, I mean, if everybody's healthy, he's third on the depth chart. But is everybody going to stay healthy? You've got two guys ahead of him that have injury history. I think Cooper Flanagan, I like where his stock is at. So I will buy low and sell high with Cooper Flanagan.
Andrew is saying buy Kenny Minchie. He says if Leonard gets hurt, Minchie gets packages from Denbrock. Be curious.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of a package guy Denbrock is.
Yeah.
Are you going to bring in Minchie cold as a quarterback, or are you going to hand the ball off to Price or Love or somebody like that? You know, I don't know. I don't know if I see that.
Yeah, I'm trying, you know, because really Buckner's the only package guy we got. And part of the reason they did that was to kind of, you know, try to get him out there on the field in preparation
for the next year.
And yes. I don't think they're necessarily prepping Kenny Minchie for the next year when you have.
I love Kenny Minchie, but CJ Carr is your starter in 25 if everything continues down this road.
Right. He says, with a boring Angeli, wouldn't you change things up?
Yeah, I wouldn't have Angeli in the game. So, no.
That would be the yes.
He'd be on the bench with a clipboard. So, I would have CJ Carr in there, and CJ Carr is mobile enough to do some of the things that we're talking about.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.